This is FNX.
Listen to Shoot the Defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Welcome to Blast from the Past on Shoot and Defence in association with the FNX Network, Radio Football and StadiumScene.tv. I'm your host Stel, and as we embark on the biggest game in the Championship calendar, namely the playoff final, I've decided to delve into the archive once again and talk a bit about a game involving the teams contesting this year's final. Now, before I talk about the 1997 encounter between Aston Villa and Derby, I'd just like to let you know that after this mini review, you'll hear the playoff final predictions from some long-time friends of the show, so please stay tuned. Now, let's talk about the host, Aston Villa. Well, Brian Little was always on a hiding to nothing when he joined the club from Leicester City. I remember when that move occurred. Both sets of supporters were very, very irate. As we know, there's no love lost between the two sides, and Brian Little going to Aston Villa was always going to be a tricky one for him. And, you know, he started the season losing at Filbert Street, believe it or not, against Leicester City 1-0. They then lost their next three games. Home against Blackburn 4-0, 1-0 at Newcastle and 3-2 against Spurs. Now, they kind of kick-started the season briefly with a 1-0 home victory against Leeds United, where Dwight York got the winner with 23 minutes to go. But they had to wait two more weeks before travelling to Barnsley, beating them 3-0. And let's just say Oakwell isn't the easiest place to go to. It's not a nice place to go to as an away fan. And I can imagine what it's like for the players when you've got over 15,000 fans above you, basically, and giving you all sorts of abuse. But, you know, Aston Villa rode the storm and they came away with a 3-0 victory. And if you look at Aston Villa's squad back then, Brian Little loved to play a 3-5-2 system, something that back in the mid-90s was the in thing. I remember Liverpool were doing it, a few other teams. I think Arsene Wenger played the 3-5-2 at Arsenal at some point when he first joined the club. But Villa's first team squad was pretty decent. They had Mark Bosnich in goal. Gary Charles was a fullback, but Fernando Nelson was the regular right wing back. I mean, Fernando Nelson was a very, very solid fullback. I remember when he joined from Sporting. Not many people knew who he was. Obviously, back then we didn't have things like the internet or, you know, these football experts from across Europe. So we didn't really know what to expect from Fernando Nelson. But he came in, a pretty decent reputation from Portugal, I'd say. And I think he held his own in the Premier League. Steve Staunton, Gareth Southgate, Hugo Helge, they were the three central defenders. Now, I don't know if those of you listening will probably remember Steve Staunton, but I remember when he was at Liverpool, he was a fantastic left-back, had a superb left foot. And in fact, in the first Premier League season, I remember him scoring a belter against United. Left foot, half volley, edge of the box. In fact, I think the ball got caught in the stanchion. But he was a fantastic footballer, Steve Staunton, especially at international level. Jack Charlton really trusted him, and he rarely put a foot wrong. So when he was asked to move into central defence, it was like a duck to water, really. Gareth Southgate and Hugo Helge, two fantastic central defenders. Hugo Helge had an outstanding career, did very well at Middlesbrough as well, if I remember correctly. And Gareth Southgate, well, what can you say about him? Fantastic defender, did very well for Crystal Palace, did very well at Middlesbrough, especially as a manager. People will remember him for that penalty miss for England at Euro 96, but, you know, it doesn't mean he's any less of a footballer. Midfield, Ian Taylor, Mark Draper, two very good ball players. Taylor especially loved to get forward and score some important goals. Savo Milosevic came in, big fee. They called him Misalotovic. I remember that. He didn't really get that many goals for Villa. And I think that's probably why they splashed so much money to bring Stan Collymore back to Birmingham. Collymore was an outstanding footballer, one of the most underrated strikers I've ever seen. He had practically everything you needed. It's just a shame that his career kind of went down the toilet the way that he did, because I think had he not had the problems off the pitch, he would have been a far, far better footballer. But yeah, he's kind of like the one that got away, I'd say, from a Man United fan's perspective. I remember when he joined Liverpool from Forest and I was gutted. He joined from a for £8.5 million, if I remember correctly. I think that was a British transfer record. Before that was Andy Cole joining United. So, yeah, when Collymore joined Liverpool, I was petrified because that Collymore-Fowler combination really did a lot of damage. But again, I think because of the whole Spice Boys thing and their focus off the pitch hindered their abilities on the pitch. Dwight York was there, another fantastic footballer, and as you guys know, Dwight York joined Man United and the rest is history. Won trophy after trophy, Champions Leagues, FA Cups, Premier League titles. Fantastic footballer as well. Close control, skillful. You'd have thought it was Brazilian. Midfield, I've spoken about the midfield, but then left wing back, Alan Wright. Alan Wright, another very underrated fullback. Loved to get forward, reliable. Reminded me a bit like Dennis Irwin, minus the set-piece skills. As I said, like to get forward, solid defender. Positional awareness was great. Very reliable, 7, 8 out of 10 player every week. And in this game, he I think he was their standout performer, but I'll play the audio a bit later. Villa also had the likes of Simon Grayson to call upon. Lee Hendry was still a youngster. Darius Vassell coming through the ranks. Gareth Barry. And Julian Joachim. Julian Joachim was another fantastic footballer. Blessed with a lot of pace, but he could finish. Really could finish. And I remember he tore so many teams apart. But again, I don't know what it was about him that, you know, he didn't make it at the highest level. He could have done so much more in his career. But again, these things happen and perhaps it was injuries. I don't know. But and at the same time, when you've got players like Collymore, York, and I said Milosevic, Heria, it's very difficult. Very, very difficult to dislodge them. And I believe Darren Byfield was breaking through the squad. So, you know, yeah, it was a tough time for Joachim, but, you know, he did very well when he was given the opportunities. Sasa Cercic was there. As you guys remember, Sasa Cercic came on the show a few times. Another fantastic footballer, but he left to join Crystal Palace midway through the season. And I think if I'm not mistaken, Alan Thompson was like a big money signing back then for Villa. I think he joined, when did he join Aston Villa actually? 5th of June 98. So he didn't really join during this actual league campaign. Joined at the end of the season. So, yeah, it was Villa's big money signing. But, yeah, Villa had a very decent squad. And I think they ended the season. When did they end the season? I think they ended the season 7th. Yeah, because they qualified for the UEFA Cup. And I think in that season, they were actually in the UEFA Cup as well. They were, weren't they? That's right, yeah, because they played Athletic Bilbao. They played Steaua Bucharest. I think Atletico Madrid knocked them out on away goals. So yeah, it was a long season for Aston Villa, and again back then, you know, the UEFA Cup, a lot of teams took it very serious. You know, it wasn't group stages like it is now. It was just round one, first leg, second leg, round two, first leg, second leg. So it was constantly over two legs. Now I can't remember if the final was two legs back then, so you guys will have to correct me on this one. I think it was one game, but I remember back in the day the UEFA Cup actually was over two legs, even the final. So yeah, moving on to Derby County and Jim Smith. Yeah, Jim Smith, Harry Redknapp's best mate, eh? Harry Redknapp's best mate. Again, he had a very decent squad and their season didn't start off too bad. They started with two defeats, both of them 1-0. But then they bounced back, beating Barnsley 1-0 at home. Oh, Barnsley, poor Barnsley. They were the whipping boys that season, weren't they? They got pounded by everyone. And then they beat Everton at home 3-1. Now, if I remember correctly, Stefano Aranio had joined Derby County that summer. In fact, Derby spent quite big, and I say quite big in terms of monetary value back then. They bought Baiano, I think he came in for just under £250,000. Dion Burton came in, Rory Delap, who we know was fantastic at Stoke, especially with his throw-ins. Lars Boheinen, he came in from Blackburn Rovers. And Lars Boheinen, again, another very underrated midfielder. Had a very successful spell at Nottingham Forest. Did quite well at Blackburn. And also Derby brought in Horacio Carbonari. No, I don't mean the Italian cuisine. Carbonari was a Argentinian central defender. Didn't really do too much in the Prem. I remember he ended up going out on loan to Coventry City for a while before going back to Rosario Central. He had 4 years in England. I think he signed for like £3 million. In fact, he was the first ever Argentinian to play in the Premier League with Juan Cobain, who was at Sheffield Wednesday at the time. Cobain isn't related to Kurt, so I can tell you that for now. But yeah, Carbonari was like a cult hero for Derby County, because I think he scored a brace against Nottingham Forest. And as you guys know, the relationship between Forest and Derby fans isn't great. Derby County squad, a very, very interesting squad made up of English players and foreign players, really. Russell Hoult was the English goalkeeper, the backup to Mark Poom, who was a very, very solid goalkeeper. Mark Poom came from Estonia. And again, as I said before, with Fernando Nelson, no one really knew too much about him. I know he was at Portsmouth for a few years, and I think that's where Jim Smith kind of knew him from. So he signed in from Derby County. I remember he ended up at Arsenal as well. I think he played a game for Arsenal, Mark Poom. But yeah, Poom was a very, very underrated goalkeeper, especially for the 90s. And I know we had the likes of Nigel Martin, we had the likes of Peter Schmeichel. And, you know, it's very, very difficult for Mark Poom to be rated as one of the top goalkeepers back then. But yeah, he was very solid and rarely put a foot wrong. Some standout players for Derby County at the time, they had Igor Štimac, was a fantastic central defender. Absolutely no-nonsense Croatian defender. I remember when he signed from Hajduk Split, one of my favourite Championship Manager players. Not many people knew much about him, but, you know, he came in, he did a job. Again, and I think Derby really, really got the best out of him. They also had the likes of Robin van der Laan, of super. Superb ball player was van der Laan, very, very underrated. Did very well in League One, or was it Division One back then, with Port Vale, kind of a club legend back then. So yeah, Derby County did very well to sign him, and he ended up Wolves and I think Barnsley, if I'm not mistaken. Paolo Wanchope, another player that no one knew anything about. I think people were saying that he might as well be a basketball player because he was gangly, he was tall. But he really did a lot of damage. And, you know, ask United fans what he did to us at Old Trafford. I think it was that season as well. Ended up at Man City, Costa Rican international. Very, very good player. Dean Sturridge, another player that came through. Did he come through the youth academy, if I'm not mistaken? I think so. Yeah, he came from Derby County's youth academy. Ended up at Wolverhampton Wanderers. But, yeah, he really made his name at Derby County. If I'm not mistaken again, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's a Daniel Sturridge's uncle, isn't he? I think they're related. So they had some quality players. Lee Carsley, another workhorse, very good in the middle of the park, as you saw later on at Everton. Really, really did a good job. And he was Mr. Reliable, another 7, 8 out of 10 player. Jakob Larsson, superb central defender. You know, when they signed him from Silkeborg, he played at the 92 Summer Olympics for Denmark, and that was the year that Denmark won the Euros, represented the under-21 national team. He won the Danish Superliga, and he made his debut for the national team, I think, in 95. Richard Møller Nielsen, who, again, legendary coach, really, really rated him, and it's no surprise that he came to the Premier League and did very well. Another underrated defender, so people that obviously haven't been following the Premier League, or perhaps weren't born around the time, or weren't around the time when Jakob Larsson was there, do a bit of research on him, because I think he was a very good central defender. Another underrated gem. Maurizio Solis, another Costa Rican player that came. Not many people rated him. I thought he was all right. But then again, when you got the likes of Christian Daly and Gary Rout there, very, very difficult to dislodge him. But you know, Stefano Aranio came in and, wow, what a footballer he was. You know, he did superb at Milan. Again, another footballer who's very, very underrated. And when you talk about underrated footballers that came to the Premier League, you're talking about a guy that won 3 Italian Super Cups. He won 3 Serie A titles. He won 2, well, he played in 2 Champions League finals. Unfortunately, they lost both of them. But, you know, again, a very, very good footballer. And again, he came to the Premier League right about the time when Ravanelli had come, and people were saying, well, Ravanelli had one decent season and he left. But Aranio and Baiano, two very good footballers. Baiano didn't really do too much at Derby. I wouldn't say he pulled up any trees. scored about 16, 17 goals when he joined. But he got two international caps for the Italian national team, and for Arrigo Sacchi to call him up and put some faith in him tells you what kind of a player he was. I've mentioned Lars Bohinen, again, another underrated footballer, very good ball player, Norwegian legend. Was around during the time when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer broke through. Who else did they have? Ronnie Johnson, Torre André Flo. Lars Bohinen actually joined in 98, so he actually wasn't part of the matchday squad. But again, another quality footballer, Norwegian international. He was very unfortunate not to make the 1998 World Cup squad. I mean, but then again, when you look at that squad that they took to France, the likes of Erik Mikland, Leonardsson, Stala Solbakken, Mini Jakobsen, Rekdal, Jostein Flo, Vidar Rizeth, Roar Strand, a lot of these footballers were a bit more established. I won't say established, actually. I think they were just in the right form at the time, and it was very unfortunate not to make the squad. So on to the game. Yeah, so this game came quite early in the season, 20th of September 1997. I think it was the seventh game of the season. And both teams were really trying to get a foothold in the Prem. As I said, they were struggling before. Let's see how they lined up. Well, Aston Villa played with a traditional 3-5-2 system where they had Bosnić in goal, two wing-backs of Fernando Nelson and Alan Wright, three central defenders of Staunton, Ehiog and Southgate. Midfield was Churchich, Draper, Ian Taylor, and up front was Stan Collymore and Dwight York. Now, with Derby County, I can't remember the system that they played with this one, because I remember later on in the season they played the 4-3-3 with Christian Daly up top. Now, Christian Daly was actually a central defender. Spent a bit of time at West Ham, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, they had Mark Poom in goal, back four. I'm pretty sure it was a back four. They had Daly, Rowett, Jakob Larsson and Chris Powell. The midfield was Jonathan Hunt, Lee Carsley, Paul Trollope and Erranio. And up front was Baiano and Sturridge. Now, again, forgive me if I'm wrong with this system. I think it was a 4-4-2. It may have been a 4-3-3. But in this game, I know full well that Derby were just playing on the counter-attack here. And they took the lead through Francesco Baiano. He went to go around Bosnić. He got tripped up, but he stayed. He kind of knocked the ball in while he was on the ground. It was a very scrappy goal, but they all count. And the game ended up just being like the Alamo. Villa were just attacking. Wright was getting forward. Fernando Nelson was whipping balls in the box. But at the same time, Daly and Rowett and Larsson, they were fantastic. They were stopping everything. And, you know, every time Dwight York got the ball, Gary Rowett was chasing him, trying to close him down. It was a very cagey encounter. But there was one substitution that Brian Little made that changed the course of the game, and that was Julian Joachim coming on for Sasa Churchich. Churchich was relatively ineffective in this game. Joachim came on, gave Villa a new dimension. They switched to a kind of like a 3-4-3, I'd say. So you still had your fullbacks, your wingbacks bombing forward, but Collymore was drifting out wide to the left, and Joachim was drifting out wide to the right, and York was taking a more central role. But at the same time, the two wide men were drifting in, really causing Derby County some problems. But Villa equalised through Dwight York. Again, a little bit of a scrappy goal, but great improvisation from York. The ball came in from a corner, was nodded down and back to goal. He kind of swiveled. There was a little overhead kick. Perhaps Mark Poom should have done better, because it did seem like a bit of a tame effort. But, you know, at that moment in time, you know, you only got a split second to make a decision. And he made the wrong one, unfortunately, for Poom anyway. But, Dwight York levelled it. And, less than 2 minutes later, ball's come in the box. Dwight York misses it. And there is Julian Joachim to tap in. And Villa got the win. So here's the audio of the game. Hope you enjoyed my brief preview to the game and the build-up to it. Enjoy.
Draper. Taylor's gone on ahead of him. Collymore's available as well. And that's to whom this is aimed. And it'll fall to Alan Wright. It was blocked by Rowett. It's a moot point as to whether you call that a shot on goal, because frankly it didn't travel very far. But the suspicion was that it was on target. Rowett. Ehio gets into the path of Bayardo. Goalkeeper came out, but did he make contact with it? Doesn't matter, because Francesco Bayardo scores his first goal in English football. This will not make pretty viewing for Aston Villa. There was a case for a penalty anyway, as Bostic made contact with Bayardo, but any doubt in the referee's mind was taken away. Bayardo kept his cool and kept his head and slid the ball somehow into the gaping net. 1-0 to Derby. Some of the short passing has been good. There's been very little incision though. And this is Nelson. Draper with space into which to run and space from which to shoot. Struck it powerfully. Carsley. So much of Derby's work is especially neat. That wasn't. And this is York. Churchich. Southgate's virtually occupying a left wing position at this stage. Here's Collymore. Difficult to get enough purchase on the header to loft it over form. But something had gone badly awry in the Derby defence. Right. Southgate. Now Staunton. Deep cross for Collymore and Dwight York. Neat footwork. And the ball was aimed right at the face of Mark Paul. It was well struck, but in a sense the keeper couldn't help but save it. It was either that or be knocked unconscious. Sturridge. Too much pace for Ehio. And a free kick to Derby as a result. There are a few quicker than Dean Sturridge in full flight. Jakob Lausen is standing over the ball. Well struck. And equally well judged by Bosnich. Memories return of Lausen's spectacular free kick against Manchester United last season. York. Southgate. Right. Villa have tried and tried to get back on terms, but nothing's been forthcoming yet. This is Dwight York. Nelson. Five in the box for Villa in this attack. This is Wright. Quite what he was doing popping up on the right side of the penalty area is a bit of a mystery. Oh, Form can't regain his footing and had to make a very good follow-up save from Dwight York. Ryan Little rarely betrays any emotion at all. Draper left it for Staunton. Inside the final minute of the first half, this is Staunton! Stung the fingers of Mark Paul. Paul missed it completely. In the end, it didn't matter. But it was still a highly embarrassing moment, and now it's Bosnich at the other end. Southgate, as Dwight York waits for the pass forward. Right. Staunton. Churchich. Slipped through to Taylor, who turns and shows too much of it to Gary Rowett. Nearly. Villa have started this second half very positively. This is Alan Wright. Churchich. out by Carsley. Made off to Taylor. Oh, fine save. Top class save by Mark Horn. He's been kept fairly busy, but that's the best stop of the lot. To Wright, York, Taylor, and here's Alan Wright. Was he clipped? Here's Nelson. Well, I just wonder if Alan Wright had gone down under the challenge of form, what the referee would have done. It's a throw to Villa, conceded by Aranio. York. Staunton has Collymore to aim for. It's a fine block by Jakob Larsen. It's cost Derby a corner, but the cross. And he's found a way through. Dwight York. So much Villa pressure. And at last their reward. Taylor's looping header. Collymore also got a touch to it, and York with great agility turns the ball past Mark Paul, who previously had looked unbeatable. The subject of frenzied transfer speculation in this morning's papers, Dwight York equalises for Aston Villa. Joachim. Taylor. Collymore. Lovely pass to Nelson. York missed it. Joachim didn't. 23rd birthday, the substitute Joachim has contributed fully to turning a deficit into an advantage. Villa lead 2-1. Sweeping pass by Collymore. York might well have scored, and Joachim did. Two goals in the space of 3 minutes. Happy birthday, Julian. Derby in retreat. It's still York. And still York! He beats the turf in frustration. And tells its own story. But look, three of them were ball watching. And only the awkward nature of the bounce prevented Trollope from heading it inside rather than past the post.
Okay, so that was the audio of Aston Villa's 2-1 victory over Derby County in the 1997-1998 season. Now to the predictions, and I'd just like to say a massive thank you to the following gentlemen who sent their predictions for the Championship final. Former Walsall defender Nitan Sansara, Brentford legend Lloyd Owusu, former Charlton defender Ose Sankofa, former Birmingham and Liverpool International Academy coach Mark Meredith, and former Crystal Palace defender Saji Burton.
My heart says Villa, obviously being a West Midlands boy. I think they deserve it. I think it's, you know, that club deserves to be in the top level of English football. But after watching the two semi-finals, I think Derby looked the most braver, more attacking. So I think it's going to be a decent game. I think Derby against Leeds were brilliant. Villa, you know, they were a bit tentative. So I think it all bodes well for a good game, but I hope for me and personally, Villa make it. Obviously, working with Dean Smith as well when I was in the youth team at Walsall. For him as well, I hope he's a Villa fan. I hope they do it. But it's going to be a great final.
Well, the playoff finals are fast approaching, and with Derby County and Aston Villa going head-to-head at the weekend, it's going to be a massive game for both parties to try and get into the Premiership. Where does my prediction go? Well, I don't know. I've got a couple of people that I know at Derby, a couple of people I know at Aston Villa, so I've got to probably be a bit on the fence, but I must admit, I think Aston Villa have got a bit more quality going forward than Derby do, so I'm actually going to go for a 2-1 win to Aston Villa.
This is Osei Sankofa, and my playoff prediction is that I would like to see Derby County promoted back to the Premier League, because I love the job that Frank Lampard and Jody Morris have done this season. Great football, young side, and I think they can just do it.
So it's here again, playoff final, Aston Villa versus Derby County in what was probably the biggest championship game of the season. Aston Villa at Christmas, obviously counted out with nothing, have turned it around with such a great run of form to get them to where they are. Derby County in and around the playoffs all season with a young, promising manager in Frank Lampard. Some key players out there, some young players, Jack Grealish, Tammy Abraham, Harry Wilson, Mason Mount. It should be a spectacular. Being a Birmingham fan, obviously my heart says Derby County. Being a football person, my head probably says Aston Villa in this one. I will go 2-1 Villa. But I really hope I'm wrong.
My prediction for the Villa versus Derby game playoff final, I believe Villa will probably win. I don't think there's much between the teams, but I just think Aston Villa got an X factor with Tammy Abrahams and Jack Grealish. I think they're pretty strong in most positions. They're a pretty solid team. Although I think Derby are probably a bit more of a flair team and, you know, play probably better football. I think Villa will just nick it on the day.
None of them sat on the fence, which is absolutely fantastic, but it looks like Aston Villa are the popular prediction. Let's see who's right, shall we? I know this is going to be a very, very entertaining game. It might be a cagey start, but you've got two teams that love to play football. Frank Lampard's men have been absolutely superb this season. To think where Derby County were under the previous manager to where they are now, it's been an absolutely fantastic season from Frank Lampard's done an incredible job. But as has Dean Smith, you know, he took over when Steve Bruce was there and there's a bit of uncertainty as to where Aston Villa were heading. But again, Dean Smith, just like Lampard, has turned it around. And we have got a very, very interesting final ahead of us. Enjoy it, ladies and gents.